Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 28 tonight. And we've been moving through the life of David, and over the past few Sunday nights. We didn't get to meet last week because we were out at Spring Creek Campground. Well, we did meet. We just met at a different location. We were out at Spring Creek Campground. Had a fabulous evening out there. But I believe God's got something fabulous here for us this evening here. And I want to tell you, I'll just give you a little, if you haven't read chapter 28 today, you probably hadn't out of 1 Samuel. This is one of the most unusual passages of Scripture in all the Bible. It's very, very, nothing quite like it anywhere else in the Scriptures. And so let me kind of introduce what we're talking about. Well, tell you what, let's read the first two verses of 1 Samuel chapter 28, then we'll read the rest of the chapter tonight as we move through it. And I've entitled the message tonight, The Crossroads of Life. The Crossroads of Life. I think of that great philosopher Yogi Berra who said, when you come to a crossroad, take it. Well, that went over like a lead balloon. You can laugh in church. It's all right, I promise. The Sunday night crowd, amen. All right, now it happened in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for war to fight with Israel. And Achish, remember that's the Philistine, one of the Philistine kings, King Achish, said to David, "You assuredly know that you will go out with me to battle, you and your men." So David said to Achish, "Surely you know what your servant can do." And Achish said to David, "Therefore I will make you one of my chief guardians forever." Let's pray and ask God to bless the word tonight. Lord, we are here one more time today in your house with your people on your day. And we would ask God that you would rightly divide the word of truth tonight. That you would speak to our hearts, God, about anything you want to say to us, Lord, and that we'd all say yes and be obedient to what it is that you're calling us to do. I pray this is an unusual passage of Scripture, Lord, and I need your help desperately tonight and to unpack it and to make it real to our hearts. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do this evening. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You know, the roads that you take in life are very important, aren't they? They take us to important destinations. They provide a lot of different experiences for us that we can learn from. But sometimes a wrong road can really lead to some extreme disappointment and heartache. How many of you have ever taken a wrong turn? I think most of us could say amen to that. And some of you tonight may be at a crossroad in your life. And that's really what this passage is all about. You know, sometimes the roads that you take can either be positive or they can be really negative. They can be good or they can be bad. The crossroads that King Saul and David are on tonight would lead to life and death. So it's really important when we show up at these dramatic intersections in our life to make the right choice and to make the right turn. How many of you know that Jesus will help you to make the right turn in life? But you've got to ask Him. He's not, our God is a gentleman. He's not going to make you do anything. He still gives us a choice, I believe, in life. And He'll determine the way that you need to go. If you'll listen to Him and follow Him, you'll stay on the right path, but you still have that choice, and every one of us have made the wrong choice at certain times in our life. And so David and Saul find themselves at, at some crossroads in their life tonight. And both men are in very precarious situations in their life. And the road that they're going to take tonight is very, very, the choice that they're going to make tonight is very, very important. And the choice that they make would lead one to destruction and the other to blessing. And David's working, you remember, for an old pagan, evil king by the name of King Achish. He was one of those kings in Philistia. And Saul is consulting a witch for advice. Both of these men are totally out of the will of God for their lives at this point. And so that's, how many of y'all remember the old Greyhound bus saying? Leave the driving to us. That's right. Well, in God's sovereignty, He'll show you the way that you need to go in life. But He lets us make the choice which way to go. And it's still that way today. It was that way in our passage for the evening. And He's left the decision making in our hands. But as we move through life, we come to these dramatic intersections from time to time. And God's always there to help us to choose the right road. And He'll provide the direction if we follow. But He never makes the choices for us. Now remember, David's been on the run for how long now? About 10 years. I mean, King Saul wants to kill him. He already knows that David is going to be the next king of Israel. And so David's been a fugitive. He's been on the run, hiding out in caves and forests and mountaintops and all over the place. And when we see where David still is, where is David now? You remember Ziklag, the place of compromise? Well, that's where David is tonight. He's in enemy territory, and he's in the city of compromise, and the Philistines have now gathered their army together for war with the nation of Israel, and David is now facing the possibility of having to go to war against his own people, against Israel. And he's been lying to King Achish of the Philistines. He's out of the will of God, and the enemy king now wants David to join him. And the Philistine army probably wants David to be his bodyguard and help them and him defeat the nation of Israel. And so David finds himself at a crossroad in life. And what would he do? Well, in order to get the complete story of that, you'll have to come back next time. All right? We're mainly going to deal with Saul from here on out tonight. But Saul's got two choices to make tonight. He can turn to the Lord and acknowledge that David is going to be the king, the next king of Israel, or he can turn to the world, the flesh, and the devil for his answers. He's at a crossroad in his life. What does he do? Well, the road that Saul chooses is what we might call today the occult. The occult. And I'll talk more about that here in just a few minutes. But let's look at verses 3 through 8 now, and we see how desperate Saul is. Saul is desperate. Look at verse 3. Now Samuel had died. Say, uh-oh. If you were king in those days and your prophet had died, what did that mean? What did the prophet do? What was his responsibility? Counsel, advice, to speak for God. And so King Saul doesn't get a word from God because the prophet's gone. The great prophet Samuel has died. And all Israel had lamented him, and buried him in Ramah in his own city. And Saul had put the mediums and the spiritists out of the land. Now, and so Saul has no spiritual counselor. He has no spiritual advisor. And in the past, Samuel had advised Saul to get rid of all the occult, get rid of all the spiritists, the wizards, the witches, the psychics in the land. And Saul had actually obeyed that and run all of them out of Israel. They the people of God were not to be associated in any way with the occult. And by the way, what does that say to us tonight? In no way are we to be associated with that kind of stuff. I mean, why would you need a psychic? Why would you need a witch? Why would you need a wizard when we've got Jesus? Hello, Sunday night crowd. I mean, why would we need that? We've got the greatest counselor that's ever been around, and his name is the Holy Spirit. So we don't need all that. And so the people of God were to have no contact with the fallen, demonic, spirit world. And you say, well, where did that come from, Brother Cal? Well, turn with me over to Leviticus. I want you all to see this is in the book of the law. Turn to Leviticus 19 real quickly with me. Just want to show you a couple of scriptures. It's always good to support Scripture with other Scripture. Amen? Leviticus 19, verse 31. Give no regard to mediums. Leviticus 19, 31. Give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Now jump over to chapter 20 and verse 6 of Leviticus. And the person who turns to mediums and familiar spirits to prostitute himself. That's a strong word, isn't it? That's how God said spiritual adultery. To prostitute himself with them. I will set my face against that person and cut him off from his people. And so Saul had obeyed the word of God. He'd run all these psychics and all of them out of the country. And so God commands his people to stay away from that type of activity. And so Saul had done what God had wanted him to do in that case. But Saul is now a desperate man. He knows it's all over for him. We've talked about that. It's just a matter of time, and he knows it. Now the Philistines, this huge army, is camped in Shunem, which is about 16 miles southwest of the Sea of Galilee. And Saul's army is at Gilboa, which is about 5 miles south of Shunem. And when Saul sees how large the Philistine army is, he's terrified. So let's read on. I'm back in 1 Samuel 28, verse 4. Then the Philistines gathered together and came and encamped at Shunem. So Saul gathered all Israel together, and they encamped at Gilboa. When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was what? And his heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by the prophets. And I'll unpack that in just a minute. Then Saul said to his servants, find me a woman who's a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, in fact, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor. So Saul disguised himself and put on other clothes. And he went and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, please conduct a seance for me and bring up for me the one I shall name to you. Now, Saul is terrified. This huge Philistine army has assembled just 16 miles southwest of the Sea of Galilee. If you've ever been over there, you know about what area we're talking about. They're in Shunem, and Saul's army is just 5 miles south of Shunem. And so when he's scared to death. And furthermore, he doesn't have a word from God. The prophet of God, Samuel, has died. And so he has no spiritual advisor, no counselor. And so what does he do? Well, he seeks the Lord, but he can't find the Lord. Do you know how awful it is to pray and seek God's face and not be able to find Him? And not be able to hear from Him? Look what Proverbs 1 and verse 28 says. This is an amazing verse of Scripture here. Proverbs 1 and verse 28. Proverbs 1:28 says, "Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me." Why? Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Wow. And so there comes a place, and I know not where, there comes a time, I know not when, but God stops hearing our prayers. And that's why it's so important. I got a text message this afternoon from one of our church members, and she was trying to encourage me, you know, and she said, I don't believe this, but she said that was the finest sermon that she'd ever heard. Well, she just hadn't been listening real good. But she said, "I don't know how in the world somebody could sit through that sermon that was lost and not be saved." Well, I want to tell you, people sit through services all the time and God's speaking to them and they just continue to sit. That happens all the time, not just here but everywhere. And every time God speaks to you, and there's disobedience and there's rejection and you won't hear what God has to say, the next time God speaks to you, guess what? That voice gets smaller. And not quite as loud, not quite as confident, and then smaller, until eventually, and I don't know when this happens, but there comes a point in time when God will not hear. Is that not heartbreaking? But that's a warning to us tonight. Don't ever get to the point when you know that God's calling you to do something, you just stand up and say, "Yes, sir, I'm reporting for duty, whatever it is you want me to do." Disobedience in the life of a believer and disobedience in the life of a lost person is a serious thing with God. There comes a time when God will not answer. And so how awful it would be to get to that. Now, in Old Testament times, let me back up. In Old Testament times, God often spoke to people through dreams. Remember Joseph? Remember Daniel? You remember Ezekiel? A lot of those God spoke through those Old Testament. And the Urim was one of those stones in the high priest's breastplate. There was the Urim and the Thummim. And then at certain times of the year, they would pull those two stones out of the high priest's breastplate and cast them down. And they would assume that they were getting God's will for the way that those, I don't want to call them dice, but that's kind of what they look like. And then there was a third way that you could hear from God. And by the way, the reason they couldn't hear from God about the Urim, you remember Saul had killed all the priests. Remember that? We talked about that. And the priests that weren't dead were with David. And then the prophet Samuel had died, and the only prophets that we know of are Gad and Nathan, and guess who they're with? David. And so Saul can't get a word from God. And he cries out to God, but he cannot hear. He's so desperate now, he wants to know. And so what does he do? This group of folks that have been cast out of Israel, these demonic, psychic witches and that's what he does. And by the way, if you're looking for that, the devil will always provide that for you. Hello? And so these people had been banned from his country, but he begins to seek direction from the occult world. And in my opinion, and opinions are like noses, but I think this is one of the reasons that people seek out these astrologers and frantically try to find their horoscopes each morning. And that's why people go to witches and psychics and palm readers today. They're seeking direction in their life and they can't find it, don't know how to find it. And how many of y'all have ever heard of the Bell Witch in Adams, Tennessee? I've heard more stories about the Bell Witch and people going to the Bell Witch for advice and counsel. How many of you remember those Ouija boards that they used to play, you know? And how silly. Well, all of that stuff borders what we're talking about tonight, witchcraft and wizardry and spirit-filled stuff from the demonic world. And so Saul turns to all that because he can't get a word from heaven, and so he decides to get a word from hell and tells his men to find him a witch. And they find one not far, just north of Shunem. And Saul disguises himself. He puts on some common clothes of the day and goes to see this witch at what time? At night. You see, that's another signal of something demonic that's going on. And so Saul tells her, I want to talk to a dead man. Who's he want to talk to? Samuel. And so Saul is desperate. And then I want you to look how deceptive he is. Look at verse 9. Then the woman said to him, look, you know what Saul has done. See, she doesn't even know he's King Saul right now. Okay? He's disguised himself. He's being very deceptive. He says, look, you know what Saul has done, how he's cut off the mediums and the spiritists from the land. Why then do you lay a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. Then the woman said, that right there, who is Saul swearing by? You see how messed up he is here? When you get out of God's will, man, you make some of the worst decisions and worst choices that you later on that you drink. How in the world did I do that? Where did that come from? Was that me? You know? In verse 10, and so Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. Then the woman said, whom shall I bring up for you? He's asking her to bring up Samuel here. He says, bring up Samuel for me. Verse 12, when the woman saw Samuel, this throws up another red flag for me. When she sees Samuel, she cries out with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, why have you deceived me? For you are Saul. And the king said to her, don't be afraid. What did you see? And the woman said to Saul, I saw a spirit ascending out of the earth. So he said to her, what is his form? And she said, an old man is coming up, and he's covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed down. Wow. Now Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? And Saul answered, I'm deeply distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and does not answer me anymore, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore, I have called you that you may reveal to me what I should do. And then Samuel said, so why do you ask me, seeing the Lord has departed from you and has become your enemy? And the Lord has done for himself as he spoke by me. For the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord nor execute his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore, the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with you into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also deliver the army of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Well, Saul swears to this witch, nothing's going to happen to you by using the name of the Lord. And doesn't that sound hypocritical? I mean, they're not even supposed to be in the country. And his king, God's king, is consulting with a medium, a witch. And she's afraid that something's going to happen because she knows that all of her people have been kicked out of Israel. So she's afraid. And Saul's deceived her. She doesn't even know it's him when he first shows up. And he says, I want you to bring up Samuel. Now, isn't that interesting? Why would Saul want her to bring up Samuel in this seance from the dead? And who is Samuel? God's prophet. And so he's trying to circumvent things and think, well, maybe I can get a word from Samuel and get him called up from the dead. But you know, Saul is choosing the road that he's going down right here. He had broken God's commandments. He hadn't done what God had... Remember what over there in 1 Samuel 15, what God had with the Amalekites? You remember what God had told Saul to do? He had told him to wipe the Amalekites out and don't take any of the spoils. You remember that? But what did Saul do? Yes, he did not kill the king, Amalek, let him live, and they took the spoil. Of course, Saul blamed it on his people. Well, Lord, they wanted to use all these lambs and these oxes to burn sacrifice to you. And that's when the great Samuel said, God would rather have obedience than sacrifice. Remember that? All right. So that's kind of where we are. And so, you know, and so he wouldn't listen to Samuel when Samuel was alive. And now that Samuel's dead, he's wanting to hear what Samuel's got to say. And you know, I don't know if you've ever run across anybody quite like that, but I've known people in my life who would not listen to any godly counsel or advice. And then when their world fell apart, what are they asking for? Yeah. I mean, you know, it blows you away sometimes. And there does come a time when it's too late. That doesn't make me happy to say that tonight, but there does come a time when God is done. There is. And we need to tell folks that. We don't need to sugarcoat everything and paint God as this lovey-dovey, ooey-gooey. You know, God is a God of righteousness and holiness. And he expects his people to obey him and to do what he's asking us to do. And so the witch sees Samuel. She calls him to come up from the dead. And this is a strange passage of Scripture, is it not? And so Samuel shows up and it even scares her to death. The medium, the witch, she's scared to death. What does that say to you? You want to know what I believe? I believe it really happened. Why else would it be in the Scripture if it didn't happen? I believe it really happened. And so let me tell you something. The devil is real. And he has tremendous power and authority in this world. And he can show you things and do things to you that you never dreamed that he could do. And so I believe that's what's going on here. Saul prostrates himself before Samuel. And yeah. That's right. And you do know that the devil is an angel of light. Where did we get this thing about the red suit and the pitchfork and all that stuff? I mean, you know, I tell you how goofy I used to be early on in my ministry. Whenever I was preaching on hell, I'd wear my red tie and my black suit and my red handkerchief, you know. How dumb that is. Satan just, he shows up. I mean, he's not going to show up that way. He's right. He's an angel of light. And so, this is the only time the Bible describes anything of this nature. And the Lord used this unbelievable, miraculous, supernatural means to get a message of judgment to Saul. Saul wouldn't listen to anybody else, but now he's listening to some spirit. And so Saul is a king who turned his back on God, and now God turns his back on Saul. And it all began with disobedience. So what does that say to us tonight? Obedience is a very serious thing with our Lord. And you know, what we do is we treat God like he's some kind of cafeteria line. Well, I think I'll take a little bit of this, and I'll take a little bit of that, but I don't want any of this over here. All the Word of God is the Word of God. Every word of it. And when God lays out His plan for us and His will for us in His Word, it's not a suggestion. And the Ten Commandments are not suggestions either. God expects us to obey Him. And I'm still trying to figure out how God does all this, but I want to tell you, the people that I know that are most blessed of God are the people that are the most obedient. You just think about who that is in your mind that you know. God blesses obedience. He does. And so, you know, Saul, let's think back to Saul. He had a good start. Man, he was head and shoulders above everybody else. He had a good start. He had a lot of promise. He had great opportunity. And he could have been used greatly by God. And where did he end up? In a witch's cave at night, hearing the sad news of his impending death. This spirit tells Saul, by this time tomorrow, you're going to be dead along with your sons. And as we'll see, that happened. And so now Saul is dejected. Look at verse 20. Immediately, Saul fell full length on the ground and was dreadfully afraid because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no food all day or all night. And the woman came to Saul and saw that he was severely troubled and said to him, "Look, your maidservant has obeyed your voice, and I put my life in my hands and heeded the words which you spoke to me. Now therefore, please, heed also the voice of your maidservant, and let me set a piece of bread before you and eat, that you may have strength when you go on your way." But he refused and said, "I will not eat." So his servants together with the woman urged him, and he heeded their voice, and then he arose from the ground and sat on the bed. Now the woman had a fatted calf in the house, and she hastened to kill it, and she took flour and kneaded it and baked unleavened bread from it. So she brought it before Saul and his servants, and they ate. Then they rose and went away that night. Hearing the horrible impending news of his death and the defeat of the Israelites, Saul falls to the ground. He's weak. He hadn't had anything to eat. He's tore up. He can't believe that he's heard what he's heard. And now this spirit gives him no consolation. And the witch even tries to feed him. And finally, he agrees to eat something. She kills a calf and makes some unleavened bread for him. And you could say this is his last meal on death row. At this point in his life, God walks away from him. Isn't it symbolic that the last dark days of his life occurred at night? I think about when you reading John's gospel, that's one of the light and darkness are two of the themes in the book, and all of the things that happen that John talks about at night are normally evil. And that's what's going on here. Tremendous evil. And you know, it's always night when you turn away from the light. It's always night when you turn away from the light. Remember that. And then Saul chose the wrong road, didn't he? You say, well, how could have Saul... I mean, it was already, you know, God was already going to... David was going to be the next king. What could Saul have done? Well, if Saul had just repented, and y'all, repent means a whole lot more than to confess. Just because you've confessed something doesn't mean you've turned from it. Repentance means that you have forsaken it, walked away from it, turned your back on it, and you've changed your mind about it. That's what repentance is. If Saul had repented of what he did back there in 1 Samuel 15, and then got behind God's choice of David as king and said, "I'll support King David," what do you think God would have done? The way I read the Bible, I believe God would have received that. And Saul could have finished well. And I don't know where you are tonight. Maybe some of you are at a crossroad in life. Maybe you're... And I think about this a lot, Kevin. Kevin and I went to school together. Graduated same year. And Kevin and I both probably have more days. And Mike's just a year behind us. And we probably now got more days behind us than we've got ahead of us. And some of you older folks than I am definitely got more days behind you than you've got ahead of you. And I want to tell you, it's not how you start that counts. It's how you finish. And I believe if we went around the room tonight, every one of you all would say, even our young folks back here would say, I want to finish well. Do you want to finish well? Well, if you want to finish well, just do what my son tells you to do. That's what Mary said. To come full circle tonight, something Kevin had said earlier. Just do what the Lord Jesus tells you to do. It's that simple. And you'll never find yourself in hot water like Saul did. Well, what if I have messed up? Who hadn't? If you'll come to God God's way, I think so many times, y'all, we get to the point in our life where we try to do things our way, and we try to fix things our way, and we try to arrange things by our way of thinking, and if we'll just do things God's way, things will be so much better. And if you want to finish well, let's allow the Spirit of God to use us as we humbly bow our hearts and our actions and our heads and our mouths to what the Scripture tells us we ought to be. Amen. Billy Walker's right. How can you know what God expects if you're not in His Word? We need to get back to the Word, get back to the book, and then just say yes to whatever the Word's telling us to do. I'm having trouble landing the plane tonight. I don't know where to stop, but I know what God's saying to me. I want to finish well. And I don't know what He's saying to you tonight, but there comes a point in time. You listen to the preacher tonight. There comes a point in time. After such a time, God has tried to say something to you, get your attention through the Scriptures, through your prayer, through someone else, through a sermon, through some way, and over again, you just said, no, no, not right now, no, no, not yet, and eventually, that's it. Can you think of anything worse than not being able to hear from heaven? I can't think of anything worse than that. Now, I believe we're under grace, but I believe every word of God's Word is true. And I, for one, stand here to tell you tonight, I don't deserve God's grace. I don't deserve God's mercy. I don't deserve what I'm doing now. I don't deserve to be in the position I'm in at the church. I don't deserve any of that. It's just the fact that God is a God of grace. You look at David, man. I mean, he messed up royally. He's living down in Ziklag, the city of compromise. And he's lying to this King Achish. And in the daytime, he's going out and skirmishing and killing anyways. And he committed murder and adultery. And yet God's Word says this was a man after God's own heart. David's heart was always tender towards the things of God. It's when he got in the flesh that he got in trouble. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Father, tonight, we all have listened to the wrong voices. We all have listened to the wrong people. Every one of us have made the wrong choice about something in our life. And yet, God, You were patient with us. And You extended mercy when we didn't get what we deserved. And God, I'm so grateful for the opportunities that You've given me in my life But if I were God, I would have thrown me on the backside of the garbage dump and forgotten about me. But that's not what you did. Jesus came to forgive me of all my sin. And when I surrendered to Him and received Him as my Lord and Savior, that was a done deal. And He's never forgotten about me, and He's never left me. But Lord, I can't think of anything much worse than for a believer to show up with a wasted life. That's all we would have to offer you. And so God, help me and help us to make the very most of our lives that You've given us. Some of us have had a good start, but God, help everyone in this room to finish well, so we can hear those words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in to the joy of your salvation. Thank You for this word from the Word tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name we thank You. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.